to be a member of Scientology, what is it that you absolutely have to believe, Mark?
Well, I'll just first by tell you that in the Sea organization, a lot of those people, they don't actually learn the core beliefs, like the upper level doctrines of Scientology. So as a Sea Org member, even though I was there for 15 years, I did very little training and processing on the beliefs of Scientology. So I was there and I was working. So a lot of the beliefs that are, you know, on the internet and some of the things that are like, well, do they believe in aliens and that sort of thing? A large majority of the Sea Org members and to a greater or lesser degree, the public don't know that because you have to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to get up to that point. And it's one of those things like the basic belief is that you're a spiritual being. That's kind of like if I was to say what's the core belief, that's one of the lower level things that you learn. And in order to better yourself as a spiritual being, you need to take these different courses in Scientology, and you need to get counseling in Scientology, where a trained Scientologist audits you or does counseling with you on a device called an e-meter. And you hook two electrodes up to the person, and they ask you questions, and very personal questions, and you think about those. And you, as you get the counseling, you're also supposed to learn how the counseling works. And so you get trained, and then you get counseling. And you kind of move up both of these parts of Scientology. And some people have spent $400,000 getting up to the higher levels, and some people have spent $1 million getting up to the higher levels. So it becomes one of these things that when you find out about the really, you know, unreal things about Scientology that you can find on the internet, you've paid hundreds of thousands of dollars before you even find that out.
All right. Well, so when you start talking about this e-meter thing, I think that's where some people might go, what? Because most religions don't make you sign up for a program where you have to grab a, it's like you essentially, it seems like a lie detector, but I guess it's not. But you are there to, what's the e-meter intending to read?
What it's doing is it's measuring the resistance that is manifesting itself as a thought or an emotion or one of these things. It's supposedly being able to be measured by the e-meter. That's what they're saying, and that's how the system of the counseling works. Is they're addressing these traumatizing experiences that you had this life and all previous lives, how many ever millions of years that goes back, and they're trying to address these things. And like I said before, when you kind of build this house of cards, like I know people, they said, well, I got into Scientology because I had a relationship problem. So the Scientologists, they do this stress test, and they do this questionnaire, and you fill out the questionnaire, and it's kind of random questions, but depending on how you answer it, a person with a relationship problem answers the questionnaire, and in the end they say, you know what, you have relationship problems, don't you? And then the person goes, oh, of course, yeah, that's exactly what I have. And they say, well, Scientology can help you with that problem. So then you start and you do a $100 course. And then in that $100 course, you find out that there's like 20 other problems that you have that you didn't even know you had. But now you've learned that you have these problems. And then they say, well, you know, we have another course you can do that'll handle those problems. And then $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 later, you're getting a divorce and you're going, man, I never handled that, never really sorted out that relationship issue I started out 10 years ago on. But, And there's a lot of controversy that exists within the Scientology organization, and then among defectors of the organization that the technology has been perverted, and there's all these different schools of thought on that. So it gets very complicated in terms of trying to sort out what's real, what's not real.
Sure.
If it works for people and they believe it, then I don't have a problem with that. When you're breaking laws and stuff, then it's kind of like, whoa.
Yeah. But how old were you when you first were put on an e-meter?
Probably about 8 years old.
And what were you told was your problem?
That I wasn't focused, or I wasn't able to communicate properly. And, you know, when I was a kid, I did the communications course to learn how to communicate better, which is like, you know, when you talk, listen to the other person. And then, you know, when they're done telling you something, then let them know that you heard what they said. And then it's your turn. You talk. Okay. And then, you know, basics. It's almost like common sense stuff, but it's broken down. So it's like, this is the way you need to talk to be able to talk correctly and understand people. And so a lot of it is like that. And then, well, like I said, I didn't get through a lot of Scientology training or processing when I was in. After I left Scientology and I got on the internet, I read everything all the way up to the Operating Thetan Level 8. Like, I read all of it.
And so what about, I mean, just so I go back, because you said Thetans earlier or toward the end of the last hour, and that this is all about clearing. So are you telling me that you, did they never go through the process of trying to clear Thetans? Explain what Thetans are, if you would, too, and whether those are conversations you would have with other Scientologists about what their Thetan level was or what their obstructions were.
Okay, well, a Thetan is like your, when you first start learning about Scientology, you learn that the Thetan is you, like as the spiritual being. Okay, when you get up further and further through the operating Thetan levels, these different processing levels, the first thing that you're indoctrinated is that you're not to discuss any of your counseling with any other members. It's you cannot discuss those things with other members. It's between you and your counselor, period. You can say, oh, it was great, I loved it, but you can't actually talk about what you went over, any of the specifics. And you learn later on that when you get to certain levels, they're highly, highly confidential within the organization. Like, you have to wear if you have the materials, you have to wear a briefcase that's locked to your arm when you write up any of the things that you go over in your counseling, and it's kept under lock and key, and your folders are kept under lock and key, and all these things are kept very, very secret and secure. And if you do speak of any of these upper level materials with any other Scientologist, you're immediately exiled from Scientology, and you can no longer speak to any other Scientologist, and they can no longer speak to you if you divulge any of these details or any of these things.
What would be, I mean, I can walk up to any fellow Episcopalian, I can walk up to any fellow Christian and talk about our beliefs, talk about what I believe, talk about what they believe. We can talk about differences we might have on biblical interpretation, and nobody ever steps in the middle of it. So, from your perspective, what was their reason for trying to keep everybody from knowing what everybody else's knowledge was or what other people's beliefs were?
What they tell you the reason is because if you tell somebody about something before they're ready for it, they can basically get sick and die of pneumonia.
What?
Yes. That's exactly what is said, is if you give somebody this upper-level material before they're ready, then they'll go crazy. They'll die.
Their minds will explode overload of
words. So that alone pretty much locks you in to then you don't even want to tell somebody about this stuff. But besides the fact that you're going to get exiled and you're going to be in big trouble and you're not going to be able to see your kids and your wife and all that other good stuff, but that you just can't talk about it.
Now that you look back on it and your years in Scientology, does it seem consistent with what you experienced that the belief is, and I'm going to quote it here, 75 million years ago, Xenu, head of the Galactic Federation, an organization of 76 planets that had already existed for millions of years, were suffering from a tremendous problem with overpopulation. So Xenu's draconian solution to the matter was to gather large numbers of people, kill them, freeze their Thetans or their souls, and transport the frozen Thetans to Earth. And then the Thetans were left in the vicinity of volcanoes, which were in turn destroyed in a series of nuclear explosions, and that it sent the Thetans out into the world, and that we are still, in effect, in a battle with Xenu. Is that, I mean, is that consistent with what? I mean, did you hear things like that? I mean, we're just.
Well,
no.
The only thing that makes me that clicked for me. Well, by the when I heard, when I saw that, when I first learned of what you just said, was on South Park, the TV show. That's when I left Scientology and I was sitting in Kansas City in my townhome watching South Park is when I saw. That was when I first learned about Xenu, and I was like, oh, my God. So my wife, and when I saw that, my wife got to OT5, Operating Thetan Level 5.
Wait, is that higher or lower than OT3?
That's higher. It's two above OT3. And when I saw that and I looked over at her, she was like, yeah, that's it. That's it. And I was just like, and to me, that's when I was like, and I will tell you, that this was just a few months after I got out. This was early 2005 when I saw that. And for the next probably week or two, I didn't know if I was going to wake up in the morning.
Because you had been told what she knew.
Well, because I saw that upper level materials, and I thought that I was going to die.